2011, Anders Breivik killed 77 people in two attacks in Norway. For today's attack, I'm going to repeat a post I made 4 years ago about an incident which taught me a lot about incident analysis. Oslo, Norway. Today, July 22nd, marks the 5th anniversary of one of the darkest days in Norway's history. Anders Behring Breivik set off bombs outside a government complex in Oslo, killing 8, and traveled to an island called Utøya, where a young person's political function was occurring, and massacred 69 people. Today also marks the 5th anniversary of the darkest day in my 30-plus years as an intelligence analyst, and a perfect example of why what I call instant analysis is usually a very bad idea. On that day, I described the attack as an Islamist extremist one. I know that sounds ridiculous and is 100% wrong. Before you question why the Canadian government paid me a good salary for 3 decades to be an analyst, perhaps a bit of context may help. I was asked by my superiors to write a short piece to account for the attack and its significance minutes after it had taken place, and before we knew anything about the perpetrator. In fact, the death toll had not yet been calculated when I hit the send button to issue my report. We did not know anything about Breivik, not even his name, let alone have a chance to read his Dream of Consciousness 1500-page manifesto with its Islamophobia, xenophobia, and bizarre self-portrayal of Breivik as a Knight Templar. I had little to go on. So why did I conclude that the attack had to have been carried out by an Islamist extremist? There were several reasons. Norway had been named as a target by Al-Qaeda on a few occasions. We were seeing some threat reporting that operatives had been sent to Norway to do an attack. Norway is part of NATO, and hence seen as an enemy of Islam by extremists. Most importantly, I was a radicalization/Islamist extremism specialist, and that is what I knew best. My hammer was Islamist extremism, and all the nails were therefore Islamist extremists. I cannot undo what I wrote that day. As well, I cannot shake the feeling that I should have told my bosses that we needed more information before we could come up with any serious analysis about what had happened. More accurately, what was still unfolding. I blew it. There's no other way to put this. The fact that my right-wing terrorist colleague, who sat across the hall from me, didn't challenge my analysis is little solace. The lesson here is that pronouncing definitive theses in the immediate aftermath of a terrorist attack is foolhardy, and that is exactly what happens on every single occasion these days. Watch CBC or BBC or Fox or Al Jazeera or CNN, and I can assure you that within hours of an incident, some quote-unquote expert will have all the answers. His second cousin, twice removed, once said he was psychotic. It's all about mental illness. He beat his wife. It's all about domestic abuse. Well, he visited a gay porn site. It's all about gender confusion. He was unemployed. It's all about marginalization. I could go on, but I think you get the point. In our craving for meaning and understanding, we allow ourselves to grasp at any straw we can find and use that one straw to make a basket. We have to stop doing that. If you've been following the Nice attack aftermath at all, you know that the initial lone wolf terrorist now seems to have had accomplices and may have planned his spree of violence over a year. And again, maybe this information is wrong too. I am not so naive as to think I can change the way we create and consume news. News is instant, and so is analysis. We cannot go back to the days where news of an event in a land far away was received 3 months later, and I would not want to, even if we could. But bad analysis based on fragmentary or bad data leads to bad decisions. And while it may be true that my one erroneous piece has been forgotten, I sure hope so, and a series of bad pieces leads to a belief in collected wisdom, and it is that collected wisdom that clouds our thought process. We see that clearly in the myth of the lone wolf. The term has been repeated so often that it is now seen as paradigmatic, irregardless of its inaccuracy. My heartfelt plea to all my colleagues out there is to have the maturity to speak honestly about what we know and acknowledge what we have yet to know. When media outlets ask for your opinion, feel free to avail yourselves of your hard-won expertise, but be careful about speaking definitively in the absence of certainty. After all, it is better to be somewhat humble and right than show hubris and be seen as a charlatan.
Hi, this is Phil Gursky, President and CEO of Borealis Threat and Risk Consulting in Ottawa, Canada. Thank you for listening to this episode of Today in Terrorism. where we look at what happened on this day in the past and what it means for today. I'd love to hear what you think of the content here at Borealis. You can email me at borealisrisk@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at BorealisSaves, or on LinkedIn, or on Facebook. You can also subscribe to all my content, Day in Terrorism, Quick Hits, Perspectives, and other media by going to my website, www.borealisthreatandrisk.com, and clicking the subscribe button on the top right of the screen. You will receive all the content free of charge to your inbox on a daily basis. That's it for today. I'll talk to you again tomorrow for another episode of Today in Terrorism. Until then, stay safe.